Hey, this is Jeff Floyd, pastor of C3 Church Bathurst, and this is our podcast. Thank you for joining us today. C3 Bathurst brings life to people by helping them to be revived, restored, and released through getting to know Jesus and his people. We hope that this message will bring you life today.
Good morning. Thanks, Rosemary. What a beautiful, beautiful weekend here in Bathurst. It's just stunning. And I'm so glad to be here this morning. So glad to be live and that we can actually still meet together. It's wonderful. It's wonderful that you and I can still be the church. Remember, the church is way more than a building. It's so much. It's us. It's the people of God. And something happens when we gather. However we gather, it's amazing to be together. So celebrate that. In fact, you might be with someone else. If you're with someone else right now, just slap them or hug them or something, whatever's appropriate, and say, it's so good to be together. If you're watching this on your own, you are not alone. You are together with the church. And even though we might be in different rooms, different houses, different places, different cities even, we are together, the church. It's so fun. So let me take you on a journey this morning. Right into the readings that we did today. And I'm going to look at way back in the King David's time. We're going back 3,000 years, 2,000 years before Christ, 1,000 years before Christ, 1,000 BC, lived King David, an incredible king, a guy who consolidated and got together the nation of Israel. He brought 12 tribes together. He was a warrior, tremendously successful in battle, yet he was a poet and a musician. The Bible said he was actually very handsome. He had so much going for him. He had convictions and strengths. He knew his limitations. But best of all was his heart. He had the most incredible heart, a massive heart. In fact, King David is the most mentioned person in the entire Old Testament. And only second in the entire Bible to Jesus. David is kind of right up there with one of our heroes of the faith. He wasn't perfect. He was human, made mistakes. The mistakes are well documented in the scriptures. We know that. But there's something about King David's heart. And as we've looked this week, we've seen that Jesus actually is from the line, the lineage of King David. He's descended from King David. And so we're going to explore David and how he came to be kind of one of the great, great, great ancestors way back and how that affected Jesus. But I want to look at his heart. So let me just pray for a moment before we launch into this message. Jesus, I thank you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for this beautiful day. Help us to be inspired and teach us this morning through your word right now. Holy Spirit, come and touch every person. Reveal the truth of your word of God and speak to us personally. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's jump with me to the Bible in 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 1. It says, now when the king lived in his house and the Lord had given him rest from all his surrounding enemies. You see, the king had built himself a house. It was a cedar house. He'd got timbers from other countries. And it was kind of towards the end of his reign. He didn't really have much, but towards the end, he said, I'm going to build myself a palace, a house. Archaeologists think they've found the site of his house. It's hard to tell. But it was quite a house, built of stone and cedar and wood. And so he'd become very successful. This is towards the end of his reign. And he looks back over all his achievements, his house, his family, his united nation, and then he ponders this question. So the king said to Nathan the prophet, Nathan was one of his good friends. Nathan was such a good friend that Nathan would actually tell the king off. He'd actually come and say, hey, king, I'm not sure you got this so well. But Nathan was a good friend, but he was also a prophet. He'd hear from God. And the king said to Nathan the prophet, see now, I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent. He says, like, David's thinking about his grand palace made of cedar and luxurious place. And he's going, God, I've just realized that you live in a tent. You see, the Ark of the Covenant in those times back in Israel, that was where God lived. He lived in his ark, and they'd be very careful to carry this ark around. And they'd put them in this tent, which is the tabernacle, which is the place of worship. And David's pondering all of his glory and success. He goes, I'm not so sure it's a good thing that I'm living in this palace, but God's living in a tent. And Nathan said to the king, go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you. Let's just take a moment. Let's explore King David's heart. Nathan knows that David's heart is big. He loves God. He loves people. And so Nathan says, go do all that you're thinking about. He's probably got an inkling of what he's thinking. It's good idea. And so let's just look at how come David's heart was to build. See, David was not content to live in the blessing of God for himself. I love this. It's like there's something missing. It's like when you reach the end of your life and maybe you've been successful, maybe you've got a great family, maybe you've built a great business and maybe a fortune, maybe you've achieved all that you want, but you think, there's something missing. I wish I could have built something of eternal significance. I wish I could employ the same things that I've done to my political world and my business world and family. I wish that I had built something of significance eternally. That's what David's thinking. I wish there was an eternal ramification. He wanted significance beyond the accomplishment of life for himself. He wanted to build something for God. Now, later on, the Bible says that God found in David, the son of Jesse. This is in Acts 13:22. He says, I found in David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart who will do all my will. So God had been looking, tried Saul, that didn't work, tried all these people. Finally, when David arrived, he says, here is a man who's after my heart. Like, he's got the same heart as me, a heart to bless, a heart to build, a heart of love. And he says, he'll do all my will. Anything I tell David, he'll do. There's something shallow about just living for our own self, isn't there? However good that is, there's something inside of us that yearns to be building God's kingdom. Something in all of us, every believer, when we've got the Holy Spirit living in us, even though life is good, There's more. I'm not satisfied until I've invested in the kingdom of God. And God has put that seed in all of us. And you give that seed some water and some nourishment, and you'll find that seed starts to grow. And you'll find that the significance of all the other things in life, they're good and you enjoy life, but the thing that's really giving you passion and really giving you meaning and purpose is to serve God, is that heart to build. That's what David had. It was permission to dream and to go. It was to yearn for a place he had never been. It's starting to think future thinking. That's the spirit of C3 Bathurst. It's the heart after God. It's the what if. It's the imagining, the dreaming. What's next? Where are you taking us, Lord? Not the vision of just settling down, but it's the vision of go, dream, do all that's in your heart that Nathan said. I love the people of this house who have that same vision. Ian and Rosemary. Rosemary's here. She led. I love these guys. They're the most beautiful people we've ever met. They've got this heart to build, continually sowing into other people, church, praying for people, visiting people, loving people, leading things, cleaning things. It's that heart. There's people like Bev Marriott. I bet she's watching right now. Bev, you're a champion. She's just had this heart to build. She keeps building. She keeps finding new ways to build the kingdom of God. We've got some challenges with C3 Cares, obviously, you know, lockdowns and all kinds of things affecting it. And so she's concocted this incredible plan and already built a team of people, and they're going to go and bless people in Kelso and beyond and get together with a team and pack hampers. I think, Bev, that's incredible, Bev. How you managed to do that and continue just to serve and to build and to grow. There's so many people like that. People right now, the production desk, you can't see them, but they're producing this thing. The musicians, building. There's the Nankara clan who just keeps building. There's the Dunstall clan. There's the Young. There's all these people who just have this heart to serve. There's life group leaders. There's ministry team leaders. I tell you, the house of God is fun when you start to dream and build together. That's what we do. That's the fun of life build season. I reckon that's what David was thinking. Go. Do all that's in your heart, says Nathan the prophet. I didn't mention Dot and Dan. You know, I snuck in here during the week to do some things I had to do that I couldn't do from home and popped out. There's Dot and Dan. Some of you might know Dot and Dan. Tending to the garden, planting new flowers, pulling out weeds. Essential work in this season. I tell you, I was so proud of them and so thankful for them. And, you know, there's people like that who have a heart to build, a heart to grow. I've found personally that life is more fulfilling when you're dreaming about building God's house. I found it way more fun doing that than building about my own world. Something really interesting happens. Because you might know the next bit of this story is that the next night, Nathan has a dream. Like, he says to David, yeah, good idea, David. Like, whatever's in your heart, go build. And that night, God speaks to Nathan in a dream. And it's kind of funny. And he says in his dream, this is in verse 7 of 2 Samuel 7. God basically says, David, don't build my house. He says, in all the places where I've moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel whom I commanded to shepherd my people, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? He's saying, have I ever mentioned that I'm not happy? Have I ever asked one of your people to build me a house? Verse 8 says, now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following sheep, that you would be prince over my people Israel. And I've been with you wherever you went, and I've cut off all your enemies before you, and I will make for you a great name, like the name of the great ones of the earth. And I will appoint a name, a people for my place, Israel, and will plant them, so they will dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more, and violent men shall afflict them no more. And from that time, I'll appoint judges of my people and I'll give you rest from your enemies. He's saying all these things will happen, David. You'll have rest, you'll have success, your name will be great. But look at this. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house. What? God is going to build David a house, but David's already got a house. This is odd. Stay with me. David says, God, I want to build you a house because you're living in a tent. And then God turns around and says, no, David, it's all right. I've never asked anyone to build me a house. In fact, I'm going to build you a house. What does that mean? Look at this. Keep going. Verse 12. He says, when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you, who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. That's Jesus. Nathan the prophet gets a picture of Jesus, someone who will sit to David's throne, will never be overthrown. There will always be a descendant of the house of David on the throne forever. Does it just sound like bold talk? I'm telling you, that's true. Jesus, direct the descendant. Look at Luke 1. He says, he'll be great and called the Son of the Most High God, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. Luke sees that in the New Testament. So this house that God builds David is a kingdom. It's a place. It's a house that will never end. Now, Jesus is the line of David. He is the king who forever will be on the throne in charge, not just of Israel, but of the entire cosmos. Now, that is something. See, David didn't end up building the temple. It was left to Solomon to build. And there's been several rebuilds ever since. But it didn't change his heart to build. But what it did highlight is that God's favor is on those who build. It's like whatever you want to build for God, God builds that in our world. It's like when you give, you receive what you want to give. It's the way love works. Love other people as you would have them love yourself. This is just playing out on a much grander scale. It's the reciprocal nature of love. David says to God, I want to build your house. God says to David, I'm going to build your house. That's not a house. Watch this. Your house will go forever. That's the heart. Now, that's not why I love building God's house. I don't do it for a reward. But I know that it's good, and I know that my future is certain, and I know the times of investment and struggle and financial giving and time. I know those things. That's what serving takes, isn't it? Time and money, energy. Those things, I know that God sees. I know that there's some kind of, it works out in the end. I know wherever I sow into things like Life Build and sow into time and energy and passion to build God's house, I know those things will eventually come around. It doesn't motivate me, but I just trust God with the end. It's such a fun way to live. It's called faith, a life of faith. And that's why every year we come around and we go to Life Build. Let's just dream a little, but not just dream. Let's invest, let's sow, let's give, let's do something. The world finds meaning when we actually take action. But right now, it's kind of like our world is shut down and we're all secluded and huddled and that's sort of a natural response. But you know what? The kingdom works in the opposite direction. The kingdom works by people who grab it by force and say, let's go, let's build, let's invest. So I really encourage you to pray as we finish this off. Set your heart to build. Be like David. Have a heart that just loves to build the house of God. Who knows where God will take that? For David, it was this incredible kingdom that never ended. But set your course. Set your heart above all else to build the house of God, to be a kingdom builder. Yes, build things in this world. Yes, families and houses and careers and jobs, they're all good. But if you've only got those things, life is kind of shallow. To build the house of God in whatever capacity you have, in some way, gives you so much meaning and purpose in life. And you just never know how God is going to grab that and bless you and bless other people with it. So do that. Pray. Human resources. What have I got? What has God given me that's sitting idle somewhere? What have I got tucked away back there that I could drag up and employ and take a risk and take a step? So I don't know if I can sing, Well, have a go. I don't know if I can do that. Have a go. This is the kind of spirit of our church. It's the spirit of David. I want to build a house for God. Finances. Have a go. Take a step. Wouldn't it be incredible to have some financial resource in our church that could be coming into some staff, invest in the next generation? Let's see the kingdom of God grow. It takes commitment. It takes sacrifice. It takes bold risks of faith. But I'm telling you, that heart to build becomes contagious. Let me encourage you this September to pray into those two things. And just one more thing before I go. There are people who have sown and given and blessed, and you're looking and going, it's not working. Like God said, he'd build my house, and it's kind of not right now. My encouragement is to hold on. Keep believing. Keep praying. Keep seeing the long game. It is way more significant to give than to receive. It's much better. Keep going. Keep believing. And watch how God uses your circumstances to bless other people and to build other people's lives at the same time. Don't give up on God. Don't just keep believing. Keep looking to him. The patient waiting is full. Is so much about that in the scriptures. Keep letting God show you what that looks like as you journey in sometimes tough times. And finally, Jesus came to build your life. He came to set you free from sin, from disease, from all of the effects of the fall. I'm telling you, now is a great time to commit your heart to him, to commit your heart to build his house. There is no greater mission on the planet than to build the house of God, but jumping into his kingdom is the best way in. It'll transform your world. It'll give you life. It really will. It's a prayer away. If you're watching this and you haven't given your heart to Jesus, I'm telling you, that's your next step. And we'd love to help you. Just shoot us an email, info@c3churchbathurst.org. Get in touch with us. We'd love to. We can just jump on a Zoom and pray with you. We can help. We can connect you. And just enjoy this incredible journey called Jesus.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. We'd love to get to know you better. Come and visit us at one of our Sunday services in Bathurst, rear of 217 Howard Street. Have a week filled with life.